Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gannon, and for the next hour and a half, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, a number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, that's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, and you can send email messages to the show at GoForIt, and that's at Twitter. Make sure you send messages to the show on Twitter at GoForIt. Send me messages, and also, if you don't mind, follow me. Expected to be joined by New York Knicks guard, the newest member of the New York Knicks, Iman Shumpert, who's going to stop on by and talk about getting ready for the season and the thrill of getting drafted. I mean, your life changes after you get drafted, and we're going to talk to Iman as he prepares for his upcoming rookie season, if there is going to be a season in the NBA. And also, Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Chancey Stuckey will stop on by, and we're going to get his thoughts as he's prepared for this upcoming season. And also, you know, he's going to be teamed up with Kevin Cobb, so we're going to get his thoughts as he prepares for this season. Again, Iman Shumpert, New York Knicks guard, and again, Chancey Stuckey, Arizona Cardinals wide receiver. Here on Go For It today, make sure you stick around and make sure you listen, because this is going to be another good show. But I'm going to start right now in college football and in college athletics in general, and that is the situation with the Miami Hurricanes. And oops, they're in trouble again. And it's funny, Miami, you know, they for that time there in the 80s and 90s, they had the issues there with the program and all the crazy stuff that was going on there. And Uncle Luke, Luther Campbell, a big part of that program at the time. And now we're having a situation here in 2011 where the Miami Hurricanes are at it again. They are at it again. And are you really surprised? Are you really, really, truly surprised? I mean, come on. Are you really surprised here? Are you surprised when any of these college programs get caught up in some mess, caught up in some nonsense? Does anybody get surprised by that? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, everybody is cheating. It's almost like speeding. Everybody speeds. It's just the ones that get caught are the ones who get in trouble, or the ones who speed excessively. Or sometimes it's just the luck of the draw. And you happen to pass a cop, and a cop is there, and you're pulled over. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. That is just the reality of the situation. And I look at this whole situation with Miami, and I say, I'm not surprised. And I say, you know what? Everybody is doing it. Everybody is doing it, but it doesn't make it right. It definitely does not make it right whatsoever. It definitely does not make it right. Nevin Shapiro is the gentleman. He was a booster for the Miami Hurricane program. And now this man is incarcerated for his role in a Ponzi scheme. A Ponzi scheme. And he's saying he provided thousands and thousands of benefits to about 72 athletes over a span of 8 years, 2002 to 2010. So he was busy. He was busy providing all different types of things for players, such as access to a yacht. A yacht, a beautiful yacht, worth $1.6 million. You know how much fun you can have on that yacht? A yacht worth that kind of money? A lot of fun. A lot of fun. Apparently, he provided prostitutes for some of these guys. And if you're a young guy and your hormones are raging and your body's it's tight and you're in shape, guess what? If a guy's going to offer you grade A women, I'm sure this wasn't sloppy women. I'm sure these women were very good looking women. And you're young, and you're dumb, and you're full of all these different type of emotions and different type of things. Of course, you're going to take that offer. You're going to take that offer, and you're going to enjoy that offer. Apparently, these players had access to a mansion. Apparently, these players were given thousands upon thousands of dollars. A lot of people were eating very well during this time. A lot of people were eating very well from this man, Mr. Shapiro. I mean, and you know, it's crazy. I mean, the list of players that are on the names here, you're talking big-time names such as Frank Gore. You got guys such as Andre Johnson from the Houston Texans. You got Devin Hester. A big guy. Willis McGahee. You know, a lot of big guys, a lot of big names on this list. A lot of big names on this list of guys who have allegedly received some kind of benefits and some kind of money from Mr. Shapiro. Mr. Shapiro, who was a very busy man during this time, and apparently, according to Mr. Shapiro, the coaches knew, some coaches knew. So everybody knew, for the most part. Everybody knew. And the reality is, I guess it's an old saying, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And I guess the Miami program, on some level, was cheating, allegedly, because it's all alleged at this point. But again, old saying goes, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And that's what happened here. I mean, the guy provided them with a lot of things. Provided them with a lot of different things. And if you let's look at it here, man. If you come from a situation where the money's not really there, where financially you're struggling, and you're coming onto this campus and you're seeing the coaches who are making money, you see the university who is making money, you come to the stadium each and every Saturday and you see a whole bunch of people in the stands wearing your jersey. And you're not getting no money from that, mind you. And they're wearing your jersey. You're not getting none of that money. You're the reason that hundreds of thousands of people are watching. You are the reason. And guess what? You cannot get a penny of that money. Guess what? That's enough to make anybody want to cheat. Now, I'm not saying it's right. And I'm not saying it's right. It's wrong. It is wrong. But guess what? I understand. It is wrong. It's wrong. But by golly, I understand. I understand why you did what you did. I understand. And you know, again, that doesn't make it right. Just because I understand, and I'm sure a lot of other people understand. And I can't say definitively, if I was in these guys' position, that I would not take the money. I can't say that. I mean, it can be very frustrating when you see everybody making money off of you, and guess what? You're not getting nothing. You're not getting a penny, a dime, nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. You are getting education. You are getting an education, but how much is that education valued by the university and by yourself? But more so, but how much is this education being valued? How much is it being valued? And speaking of a guy who was in a situation where he didn't have a lot of money, former Canes running back Tyrone Moss, one of the guys involved allegedly in this situation, You know, it, apparently he got $1,000 from Shapiro. And we had another player who went unnamed in this Yahoo Sports story. I mean, and this person, this player was quoted as saying, the guy had a kid while he was in college, a little Tyrone Jr. He comes in poor as explanatives from Pompano, and he's got a little kid to feed. I could barely feed myself. I can't imagine having to feed a kid of two. Of course he's going to take it when someone offers him $1,000. And so, of course, and that goes back to what I'm saying. Of course, a guy is going to take it when he's in a situation where he doesn't have money of his own, and he's struggling himself. Of course, he's going to take the money, and he's got to feed. He's got a mouth to feed. I mean, people will do some crazy things when it comes to feeding their families. People will do some crazy things when it comes to having to feed their family. It ain't always right. It ain't always right, but I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to judge, and I don't think anybody can truly judge anybody that's in a situation where they have to feed their families. Feeding your family is a totally different animal, and when it comes to doing that, you may do some things that, you know, may not be right, may not even be legal. But, you know, you got to feed your family. You got to feed your family, and that's what you have to do, and that's just the reality of some people's situations. I mean, you're going to college, off to college, ultimately to get an education. Some, I guess in theory, you're there to get an education, but some are there to play football and ultimately play football, and that's it. That's why some are there. But some are there to get an education. Some are there to get that education. I mean, some are there to get that education, and some are not. Some are there to play football, play basketball, play baseball, play any different type of sport. Some are there for that, and that reason only. And that's why, in a lot of ways, there needs to be some kind of reform, and guys, they need some kind of payment. I don't know how much. There's a lot of educated people out here, a lot more educated than myself, that can come up with something, that can come up with something, come up with some kind of system where guys will not be forced to do these type of things and to be a part of illegal type of things and get caught up in illegal type of situations. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. Maybe some kind of system could be put in place where guys don't get caught up. I don't know. I just don't know. But I'll say this. I definitely will say this about this whole situation. And I said this to start, and I'll say it again. Are you surprised? That's the bottom line. That's the question. Are you surprised? Are you surprised? I'm not, and I would say, most of you who are out here are not surprised. But, the guy, and there's some current players a part of this as well. So we'll see how that whole situation works out. But the guy I feel most sorry for in this situation is Al Golden, the new head coach of Miami. I mean, Al Golden, coach at Temple, did a great job at Temple turning that program around and led that program to a bowl game. If you follow Temple football and know anything about Temple football, what Al Golden did at Temple was absolutely, truly remarkable. Darn near a miracle. What Al Golden did for Temple University was amazing. And if Miami is a great opportunity for any coach and a great opportunity for Al Golden. At least it was. And you look at that whole situation. You look at that whole situation and you say, Al Golden had nothing to do with this. Al Golden was not even a part of the Miami Hurricane program when all this stuff went down. Al Golden has absolutely nothing to do with this. And guess what? He may be punished. They're talk that the death penalty may be in order because of this situation. The death penalty, and if you're not familiar, look at the SMU program back in the 80s. They were given the death penalty. They were given the death penalty. And that program, it took a very long time. That program really truly has not recovered from that death penalty. They have not recovered from that death penalty. So if you're, and if you get the death penalty, you're looking possibly a cancellation of your program for a year, possibly no TV, no bowl games, a whole bunch of stuff may be in line for you if your university, your program gets the death penalty. And so you look at it and you say to yourself, if you're a Miami Hurricane fan, you love the Hurricanes, C-A-N-E-S, Canes, Canes, Canes. If you love Miami, this has got to be a tough thing for you because your football team, once this investigation is done, may not look, may not be the same. It just may not be the same. And it's going to be a sad thing. And, again, you feel sorry for some of the new players who had nothing to do with this. You feel sorry for Al Golden, who had nothing to do with this. A great opportunity for Al Golden with the Miami Hurricanes, a great opportunity. I mean, the guy earned it. The guy deserved this opportunity. And to be a part of this situation and to have to deal with this situation is a tough, tough thing. And you feel sorry for the guy. You feel sorry for Al Golden. You feel sorry for him. But guess what? He'll be okay. He will be fine. He signed a nice little contract. So financially, he will be okay. And judging by the economy, I guess that's all that matters, truly. But, I mean, this is some crazy stuff here. Crazy stuff here, but it's not really surprising. You had the whole situation with Ohio State guys selling some of their memorabilia, guys selling things for tattoos and things of that nature. I mean, guys doing whatever they need to do to eat. And guess what? I said it before. I'll say it again. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's wrong. It's dead wrong. It's dead wrong. But guess what? Guess what? I understand. I understand. And it should be very interesting what happens and what comes of this situation. Will they give Miami the death penalty, a program, a story program, a high-powered, traditional, big-time program? Will they give them the death penalty? And we shall see. But these are some big-time allegations here, big-time allegations against the Miami program. And can they recover? We know how long it took SMU to recover. And some will say they really still haven't recovered from the death penalty. Will the same happen to the Miami Hurricanes? Will the same things happen to the Miami Hurricanes? Only time will tell. Only time will tell. But again, the only person I truly feel sorry for in this situation is Mr. Al Golden, the coach of the Miami Hurricanes. And Al, I'm a Temple alum, so I feel for you. I feel for you. And you did the unthinkable. You did the impossible at Temple University. You did the impossible. Temple football became somewhat relevant because of you. It became relevant because of you. Now, if this whole situation goes down the way it may, you and the Miami Hurricanes may become irrelevant. You guys may become irrelevant. And that's just the reality of the situation. But I'll say it one more time. Are you surprised? Are you really surprised? Because I know you're not, and I'm truly not surprised by this whole situation. I want to move to the NFL now, and I want to move to some comments by Eli Manning. Eli Manning, Super Bowl winning quarterback Eli Manning, 31 touchdowns last season, Eli Manning, but 25 interceptions. Over 4,000 yards passing, Eli Manning last season. Eli Manning said, I think, the unthinkable when he said that he is in the class of three-time Super Bowl winner, the one, the only, Tom Brady. Eli Manning, he said it. I consider myself in that class. I consider myself in that class. Yes, he has a championship. Can't take that away from him. You cannot take away that championship from Eli Manning as much as we would like to, and I'm one of them who would like to take that championship away from Eli Manning. I would love to take that championship away from Eli Manning. I mean, but in that Super Bowl, he made an impossible, improbable play where he broke free, seemed like he was, you thought he was going to get sacked. You thought he was going to get sacked, and he broke free, and then he threw the ball in the air, and another guy made an improbable catch, and that is David Tyree, who kept that drive alive and ultimately led to the Giants scoring Eli Manning to Plaxico Burress and ultimately the Giants winning that Super Bowl. But can you be in a class of Tom Brady, the Peyton Mannings, the Drew Brees, the Phillip Rivers, can you be in that class with 25 interceptions? Can you be in that class if you threw 25 interceptions? I don't know. He says, I'm not a 25-interception quarterback. That's going to be fixed, and it should be a good year. Those are his words. Those are his words. Manny may question that. You're one of your go-to guys, Kevin Boss, gone in Oakland. Another one of your guys, Steve Smith, gone, headed to the Dream Team in Philly. Another one of your guys, Plaxico Burress, gone, headed to the New York Jets. So you're losing some guys here. You're losing some guys here. Do I think Eli Manning is a good quarterback? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. He is a good quarterback. Would I call Eli Manning an elite quarterback? No, I would not. I would not call him an elite quarterback. I would call him a very good quarterback. I would call him a very good quarterback, but I can't, in my right mind, call this guy an elite quarterback. I couldn't do it. Can't do it. Cannot do it. Has the right name, Manning. Has the right name, definitely has the right name, Manning. That's a name of greatness. But that's a name of greatness when it comes to talking about Peyton Manning. Is Eli better than his father, Archie? Archie Manning, who, unfortunately for him, played with a lot of bad teams in New Orleans, but had a ton of talent. Had a ton of talent. Is he the second best quarterback in his family? Is he? And let's look at his division. Is he the best quarterback in his division? Tony Romo's there. Michael Vick is there. Rex Grossman is there too. I just had to add that in. But you look at it, is he better than Michael Vick? Is he better than Michael Vick? Don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. But I'll say this. Michael Vick, he had his best year as a pro last season. Will he have that same type of year? in the 2011 season? And is it too soon to kind of have Michael Vick leapfrog Peyton Manning? Is it too soon? Is it too soon? I think Michael Vick actually will have a better year than Eli Manning. I think Michael Vick will have a better year than Eli Manning. Is Eli Manning better than Tony Romo? Again, I think if I had my pick, I would go with Romo. I would go with Romo. If I had to pick, and granted, Tony Romo has only won one playoff game. Only one playoff game. One playoff game. One playoff game for Tony Romo. That's it. That's it. Only one. Eli Manning is a Super Bowl quarterback, a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You cannot take that away from that guy. He is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You can't take that away from him, even if you wanted to, even if you would like to. But I would say that Eli Manning is the third best quarterback in his division. An argument could be made that Eli Manning is the third best quarterback in his division. The third best. The third best quarterback in his division. The third best. The third best. That's what I would say. At least that's what arguments could be made. Arguments could be made both ways. Definitely. And it's not a clear-cut situation. It's definitely not a clear-cut thing. It's not a clear-cut thing. It really is not. It's not clear-cut. But I would say Eli Manning is the third best quarterback in his division. Just my opinion. Just my opinion. But if I was picking quarterbacks and there was a draft held today and I had my choice between Michael Vick, Eli Manning, and Tony Romo, I go Vick, I go Romo, I go Manning. In that order. Vick, Romo, Manning. But I will say this. I will say this. In his defense, not necessarily in his defense, but about him. If you don't believe that you're the best and you're one of the best, then I don't think you need to step out on that field. I don't think you need to step out on that field. You have to believe that you are the best. If you don't believe in yourself, by golly, you're not going to find too many people that will believe in you. You got to believe in yourself first. Once you do that, once you have that self-belief, that belief in you, once you have that belief, that's a beautiful thing. And to me, you got to like his moxie. You got to like that swagger saying, you know what? Guess what? I'm an elite quarterback. I am an elite quarterback. Hate it or love it. Agree or disagree. I am an elite quarterback. My name is Eli Manning, and I am an elite quarterback. You got to love the confidence there. If you don't love anything about Eli Manning, you don't love anything about those comments, you better daggone sure love that confidence. You got to love it. You got to love that confidence. You got to love it. And, you know, you got a lot of Manning haters out there. A lot of them. A lot of them. But guess what? You got to love that confidence, man. I love that confidence. I love the confidence of Eli Manning. I love that confidence. I love that swagger. I love it. I love it. I love it. Full disclosure here, do I hate the Giants? I do. I don't like the New York Giants. I'm a lifelong Eagles fan. I got to keep it real with you. I got to tell you the truth. I am a lifelong Philadelphia Eagles fan. So, of course, I hate the New York Giants. I hate the New York Giants. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I hate them. And if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, most people hate the Cowboys more than anything. But I think I hate the Giants more than I hate the Cowboys. And it's funny, I spent some time living in Connecticut. And in Connecticut, you got a lot of Giants fans. And I was surrounded by Giants talk, surrounded by New York talk in general. So I ever tell you I hate New York City as well. I lived in New York City for 2 years, hated every moment of it. I hate New York City. Just being honest with you, I hate New York City. Hate it. Great place to live. Great place to party, excuse me. Great place to visit, but not a great place to live. I don't like it. It's too crowded, too much traffic. I can't stand it. Too much traffic. Everybody's always in a rush. You just want to tell people, look, man, relax. Calm down. You'll get there. It's okay. You'll get there. Relax. Calm down. It's okay. And that's the way I felt living in New York City, man. Everybody was in an absolute rush. And it became annoying after a while. Downright annoying. Very annoying, actually. It just became very annoying. And so, full disclosure, I do not like New York City. Don't like New York City. And I don't like the New York Giants. But I can be honest about the New York Giants. I think even with some of the losses that I outlined, Barry Colefield on defense, some of the losses I outlined, I think the New York Giants are still going to be there, and they're going to be a formidable foe. They are going to be a formidable foe. They're going to be there. They are going to be there. And I hate the Giants, but guess what? I got to be honest, I got to be objective about this whole situation. And I can do that very easily. They will be there in the mix. So, I'm not sleeping on the New York Giants. They will be there in the mix. This is a very good team. And this was a team last season that I felt was the best team not to make the playoffs. They were the best team not to make the playoffs. This team, that New York Giants ball club, if they would have made it to the playoffs, I felt like, and I looked at the playoffs, and I felt like every team in that playoff last season could have made it to the Super Bowl except the Seattle Seahawks. Every team. And if the Giants would have got in, I would have given them the same type of shot to get to the Super Bowl. I would have given them that same type of shot. Many felt and feel that the New York Giants actually should have won the NFC East. Many feel the Giants should have won the NFC East. And you look at it, up 31-10, 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter against the Philadelphia Eagles. And we all know what happened there, a remarkable comeback by the Eagles. And ultimately, that remarkable comeback by the Eagles, where you had DeSean Jackson with the walk-off punt return. First time ever been done. Walk-off punt return. And you look at that. And you look at that situation. And you look at that. The New York Giants, if they would have won that game, a game that they had in the bag, if they win that game, they probably win the NFC East. And who knows how different the playoffs would have been with the New York Giants in. Who knows how different the playoffs would have been. But the New York Giants, I felt and feel that that ball club, would have gotten into the playoffs, that would have been a dangerous team, and that would have been a team that would have had an opportunity to win the Super Bowl. We're going to be joined very shortly now by New York Knicks guard, Iman Shumpert. And again, he is the newest member of the New York Knicks, taken 17th pick in the 2011 draft. Let's bring him in now. We're joined now by New York Knicks guard, Iman Shumpert. Iman, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How about you, man?
I'm doing very well, doing very well. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I mean, anytime.
And Iman, last season you led Georgia Tech in points. You led them in rebounds, steals, and assists. Did you sell a little popcorn on the side?
I was just trying to do everything in my power to win more games. That's all I know is to get that W at the end of the night. So, I mean, I'll do anything I can to do that.
And you left Georgia Tech as a junior. When did you realize that you were ready to take your talents to the NBA?
I believe it was first couple of games into the ACC season. I started feeling like, you know, I was putting myself in a position where I could play pro basketball. And
right.
You know, it's always been in the back of my head, but I've always been so focused on school. And after one of my games, you know, talking over with Coach Hewitt and, you know, talking with my father, they were both saying that, you know, that I should look into putting my name in, so.
And during that process, was there any thought of pulling back and going back to school?
Early on it was, but, you know, once I got into, you know, got into workouts and really started to get some advice from people, I also got some advice from Brian Gregory that they felt that it'd be a good idea for me to stay in. You know, that's all the confidence I needed to keep my name in and, you know, to show and prove that I could play ball at this level.
And Iman, the draft process can be a tough thing, workouts from this city, that city, and so on and so forth. How tough was that for you?
Can you say it one time? I can hear
you. Going from city to city, having to work out for different teams, how tough was that for you mentally and physically?
Oh, it's tough because the biggest thing is, you know, going city to city is fun, you know. The biggest thing is that you have to go city to city. You may have to work out, go to this city, and this whole time, if you didn't drink water in the airport, you really haven't drank any water. You might miss out on a meal. You know, your rest is off. And the mental part about it is that, you know, you have to play in front of these coaches. They don't know that you played back-to-back-to-back-to-back. They just want to know what you're going to do today. So, you know, you have to go into each workout and play as if, you know, this is their first and last impression of you. So, you know, you gotta put it all out there every time you go out there. And, you know, if that turns into 15 workouts, it can get tiring. But, you know, thankfully for me, you know, I think I only did 11 workouts. So I was pretty much energized for it, I guess.
We're talking to Iman Shumpert, the newest member of the New York Knicks. And, Iman, you had a workout with the New York Knicks where you shot the ball very well. Did you know at that point that your name might be called by the Knicks on draft night?
I felt like with the overall workout that they could definitely have been saying my name on draft night. I felt like Phoenix could have been, felt like Houston could have been. My Chicago workout was good. I had a couple workouts where I felt like, you know, a couple of teams would say my name, but for some reason, when it got to the Knicks pick, I sort of felt like they would pick me. So I guess it might have to credit, you know, my shooting that day.
And you went number 17 to the New York Knicks back in June. How did it feel when you heard your name called?
It's a surreal feeling. You know, I sort of just got weak I couldn't really do much. I couldn't really think about anything else. I was just so happy. You know, it's a long road. It's always been a dream. Now it's reality, and now, you know, in my mind, I realized, you know, I could celebrate tonight, and, you know, the next day I got to set new goals. New goals, higher goals. So.
And you look at, in mind, you're going to New York City, a very tough place to play. I mean, the fans are tough. The media is tough. Are you ready for it?
Yeah. You know, it comes with the territory. You know, it's such a big market, and, you know, New York is it's so big. Within itself, and the type of fans, you know, to give criticism like they do, you know, that can only make me better. I feel like I needed to go somewhere like that because I don't have time to relax. You know, having people on your heels is a good thing.
Right. And in New York, you got Carmelo Anthony, you got Amari Stoudemire, two of the top talents in the NBA. How excited are you to play with these two stars?
I'm extremely excited. I was talking with Amari. We're supposed to be, you know, getting together, and all the guys are having our own little training camp. I'm really excited. I'm down here in Florida. I'm working out, you know, doing weights, you know, shooting, watching a lot of film, just trying to get ready and make sure that when the lockout's over, that I've improved and I'm able to come in and, you know, make a big contribution to the team.
And you're going to be in a good position, being that you're going to be learning. You can learn the point guard position from Chauncey Billups, a champion and a veteran in this game and a very good point guard. That's got to be a good opportunity for you.
It is. You know, I've been getting advice from everybody. Just listen to Chauncey. Just listen to Chauncey. So, you know, going into it, I know to have open ears to him and everything he has to say. Hopefully, you know, I'm able to listen to him and Tony Douglas to make my transition at the guard position a smooth one. You know, I know it's going to be a lot of things that I have to learn in very little time. But, you know, I'm all ears and all eyes to whatever they have to show me and, you know, tell me.
We're talking to Iman Shumpert, the newest member of the New York Knicks. And, Iman, many have questioned your jump shot. You only shot 28% from behind the three-point arc. Are you doing things to improve that jump shot and that aspect of your game?
Oh, definitely. You know, with the numbers that show, you know, they have every right to be critical of it. What I've been doing is focusing not only on watching each shot that I've been taking in college, I've been watching, you know, where I'm getting most of my shots, how I can improve my shot selection, what spots on the floor I need to be pulling up at. You know, working with Dan Bartle down here at IMG, he does a good job of watching film, breaking down film, showing me the shots that I've taken. You know, shots that I'm making just because I'm in the zone, and shots that I'm making because, you know, I put in the work. I'm probably taking 500 shots a day,
right,
with under direction of him and just making sure my feet are right, following through, you know, making sure it's the same shot every time. So I feel like the numbers are going to go up, especially going along with my shot selection.
And one part of your game that does not need to improve is your defense. I mean, you led the ACC in steals. And one thing about the Knicks, I mean, they're a team that gave up 106 points per game. Defense is about mentality. It's about effort. What is your mindset when it comes to defense?
Well, with defense, growing up in Chicago, the best player has to guard the best player. And I'm not a person that likes to get embarrassed. So when I'm playing, my competitive nature sort of takes over. If somebody scores on me, I'm sort of mad about it because, you know, in Chicago, it's just a big thing for, you know, the best player to be able to do everything. If you have a weakness, it's going to get exposed. And I never wanted my weakness to be somebody coming down at me, you know, when I'm guarding the ball. I would never want to be picked on as the guy you could get a quick score on. So I've always taken a lot of pride in it. But, you know, I wouldn't say that my defense isn't the thing that doesn't need to improve. Everything needs to improve. You're always trying to get better. The athletes at this level are, you know, a whole lot different from what I was playing in college. So I'm going to have to adjust, learn to guard the post a lot better, and make improvements in every aspect of my game.
And you got that 40-inch vertical, man, which is very impressive. Obviously, you can jump. You averaged 6 boards a game last season. How much does your leaping ability help you on the glass?
It helps me a lot. We were actually watching that. It's funny you said that. I was watching film on that not too long ago. I'm joking around with my coach that my athleticism a lot of times saves me. He caught me falling asleep on a couple of plays, and just because I was able to jump, I was able to get a lot of rebounds. But, you know, just going into it, I've been watching more film and just trying to find ways where I don't have to use my athleticism so much. You know, just trying to be a better player.
And the NBA, man, and I hate to say this, it's currently in a lockout, and I'm a big-time NBA fan, so this hurts me a lot. I mean, they canceled the NBA Summer League, which gives guys like you an opportunity to learn the NBA game. Are you concerned that the lockout may affect your growth as a rookie?
Partly, I feel like it does. But, you know, it's something I have to deal with. It's here. I can't really complain about it. The most I can do is, you know, try and get around as many pros as I can, play some pickup and hope that they put me under their wing and learning the game and figuring it out so that I can learn how I'm going to be successful when I get out there.
And a lot of people out there, Iman, fair or unfair, they believe that the Knicks should have went in a different direction. Tell us why the New York Knicks made the right choice with Iman Shumpert.
Because not only am I a basketball player, I'm a passionate basketball player. And when you have the passion to do this and you're willing to go put it all on the line every night, you know, there's always good results out of that. That's what I believe. That's what I was taught. So I think that making that draft choice, that they brought a lot of energy and they brought somebody that's going to be all smiles.
And I think you can bring that to the table with the New York Knicks. And on this show, Iman, we like to play a game called Who's Better? I give you two topics. You tell me who's better. You ready to play?
Yeah, I guess I got to. Let's go ahead. Let's shoot.
Better rapper, Jay-Z or Lil Wayne?
Jay-Z.
Okay. And I asked that question because we had a lot of young guys on the show, and a lot of the young guys seem to go in the direction of Lil Wayne, so you kind of bucked that trend tonight.
It's nothing against Lil Wayne is a great rapper, but I feel like Jay-Z goes more in depth with his storytelling and just not ever making that music that seems like he's settling for a club sound. You know what I mean? I feel like sometimes Wayne strays away from going as deep as he can. You know, when he all the time goes deep and sort of, you know, challenges us to dissect his lyrics, I feel like he's going to be better. But that's why I sort of rock with Jay-Z more.
Better sandwich, the Whopper or the Big Mac?
Oh, man, I think I got to say the Whopper. I think I like Whoppers better than Big Mac. I do like to get double cheeseburgers with Big Mac sauce, though. Even though I can't eat that during the season, I'd be on a diet. But I think I got to say the Whopper. No tomatoes.
And the final question, better dancer, Dwight Howard or Iman Shumpert?
Oh, man, it's Iman Shumpert, man. I got Dwight. I think I got Dwight beat, man.
Iman, you have successfully played the game. Congratulations.
where
can we find information about Iman Shumpert?
Say what now?
Where can we find information about you, your Twitter page?
Yeah, it'd probably be best just to go on my Twitter page, you know, at @I_am_Iman. That's probably the easiest way to learn things. And I've had some giveaways and, you know, fun facts. So I think that's the best way. I haven't had a site or anything like that. Right now, my main focus is playing basketball and being ready for the lock to be over.
And when that lockout's over, what are you going to do with that first paycheck?
Everybody's been asking me that one.
I could use a pair of shoes.
I'm gonna have to go get, me and my mother are gonna get matching Louis Vuitton bag. And,
okay.
You know, I told her we were gonna do that. So we're gonna do that. That'll come though.
Iman, it was a pleasure talking to you, man. I wish you nothing but the best of luck in this upcoming season and keep doing what you're doing, man. I'm looking for big things from you. Take care, man. Let's do it again.
Oh.
Iman Shumpert, point guard for the New York Knicks. Always a pleasure, man. Let's do it again down the line.
All right. We'll do.
Take care, sir. Iman Shumpert, point guard, shooting guard, New York Knicks. And, again, this is a big opportunity for him. You know, a lot of people, a lot of doubters out here, they believe that, man, maybe the Knicks should have went in a different direction. They felt the Knicks maybe should have went in a different direction. And I'm not one of them. I think it was a good pick for the Knicks. I mean, many thought they should have picked the forward from Florida State. I don't have the name off the top of my head now. But if you look at it, how is he going to get any type of playing time with Carmelo Anthony on the floor? I mean, how possible would that be for him to get any type of playing time? I mean, how possible would that have been? It would not have been possible. So, I mean, I think, and looking at this whole situation, I think his best bet, and New York is a good situation. I mean, you get to learn from a guy like Chauncey Billups, a guy who is a veteran of all veterans, a solid pro, a heady guy, a guy that can get it done and has gotten it done throughout his career. He's a winner. And if you're going to learn from somebody, that's a great guy to learn from. And so I think it's a great opportunity for Iman Shumpert. I really do. And he's a do-it-all type of player. A do-it-all type of player. I mean, he can rebound. He can score. He can defend. He can pass. This is a do-it-all type of guy, and this is a great opportunity for Iman Shumpert. And I wish him nothing but the best of luck in his 2011 season, if there is a 2011 season. I mean, you had guys, Billy Hunter, the head of the Players Association, talking about the season could be canceled. Him talking that talk, crazy talk. And then you have David Stern, who believes that this thing could be resolved. And I think ultimately it can be resolved. And I heard Dennis Scott, former NBA player, say this yesterday. It may not get resolved until guys start missing paychecks. And once guys start missing paychecks, then guys might be more quick and more willing to get back in, to get this thing settled. And I heard Fabian Washington, actually, New Orleans Saints cornerback who was on the show a few weeks back, he said that you wouldn't believe it, but you have NFL players living from paycheck to paycheck. We also had a Brian Comfort, who writes for BackpageSports.com, and he was on here as well, and he was saying the same thing in terms of NBA players living from paycheck to paycheck. You would think to yourself, guys who are making all this money, why in God's name would they live from paycheck to paycheck? Why would you live from paycheck to paycheck? Why would you do it? Why would you do it? Paycheck to paycheck. I mean, that sounds crazy. That's crazy talk. That's crazy talk. That's absolutely, positively crazy talk. Crazy talk. Crazy talk. How, like, I just don't get it. I just don't get it how you would live from paycheck to paycheck, paycheck to paycheck, paycheck to paycheck, paycheck to paycheck. Like I'm repeating it, and I'm saying it in my head over and over, and I'm saying it out loud over and over, and I just can't believe the words that are coming out of my mouth. I just can't believe it that millionaires would live from paycheck to paycheck. But, I mean, nothing really truly surprises you. You do have young guys getting money, big-time money, for the first time in their lives. And let's be honest, I'm 20, 21, 23 years old, and I come in to $1 million. I may not know how to act, especially if I didn't come from a lot of money, so I may not know how to act. All that money coming in my way, I may not know how to act, so it's understandable. I guess it's understandable. I mean, I don't know if it's understandable. Let me change that. I don't know if it's understandable per se, but I can see how it could happen. How about that? I can see how it could happen. Not understandable because I'm not giving anybody a pass because it's absolutely positively ridiculous. But I guess I understand. And we have another guy who, if this lockout does happen, will be taking his talents to Lithuania. And that's Ty Lawson, point guard of the Denver Nuggets. And he will be joining his former teammate, one of his teammates, Sonny Weems, who also went over to Lithuania. And, again, Ty Lawson's deal allows him to opt out when the NBA season starts. But he believes, and he told the Denver Post, that it's the best situation for me to go out there. I mean, it's the best situation to go out there. And, again, a lot of guys are going to be talking that talk that I'm going overseas. Yeah, a lot of guys are going to be talking that talk. But none of the Kobe's, Darren Williams is a big name, but none of the Kobe's, the Dwight Howard's, who talked about going to China. I mean, the Kobe who was flirting with Turkey, I guess. I mean, none of those guys, I don't think any of the big names will go overseas. LeBron says he's already said he's not going overseas. So, we'll see what happens with this whole situation. But if you're the NBA, get this thing right. Get this thing right. And I said it over and over, and I will repeat myself. You're a league that good times, good vibes, great vibes in the NBA. You come off NBA Finals, which was great with LeBron and everybody, and the Big Three and all that publicity coming from that. Great time, great thing, big time thing. You had that. That was big. And that was exciting times for the NBA. Then you have the NBA draft, one of the highest-rated NBA drafts in years, this past one. And you're talking about a draft that really didn't have a lot of big names. Really did not have a lot of big names. And so you had that. And so you would think that you would want to capitalize on that momentum. You would think you want to capitalize on that momentum. You would think. I mean, it's a great time to be an NBA fan, I think. A great time to be an NBA fan. A great time. A lot of people out here, oh, the NBA is not the same. No, yeah, it's not. It's been a long time since we had this type of talent in the NBA. I mean, this is, great times in the NBA. Please, owners, please, players, let's get this right. Let's get this right. Please, let's get this right for the sake of the fans, for the sake of everybody who loves the NBA. I love the NBA. love the NBA. And there's nothing more I would want to see than the NBA to come on back and get this thing right. But it's looking like games may be missed here. We may see a shortened season again. And the shortened season wasn't that bad. It was kind of exciting in a lot of ways. Every game meant something, a lot more than it does when you have an 82-game schedule. When it was 50 games, every game meant something, but you had some ragged basketball also. You had guys playing three games in a row. That doesn't happen. You're only allowed to play two in a row, and teams were playing three games in a row. But again, that was pretty exciting, man. I have to admit it was pretty exciting, but I don't want to see it this time around. The second hour of Go For It starts right now. Hour of Go For It. Again, we want to thank Iman Shumpert for stopping on by, and then make sure you follow him on Twitter, I_AM_Iman. Make sure you check him out on Twitter. Follow him on Twitter again, I_AM_IMAN. Check him out on Twitter. Follow this man on Twitter. He had some great giveaways, and it was a pleasure talking to him, a guy who has some confidence, man, and a guy who believes that he can get it done. And this will be New York will be a great opportunity for him. They don't defend in New York, so this will be a great opportunity for him to bring that defensive mentality, that energy, that defensive energy to the Garden, to Madison Square Garden. This would be a great opportunity for him. And again, he's playing with two superstars, and Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony. You don't get opportunities to do that every day. You don't get opportunities to do that every day. And he has that opportunity. Great opportunity. A great opportunity for Iman Shumpert. And hopefully he has a great rookie season. Again, a do-it-all type of player. A do-it-all type of player. Expected to be joined by Chancey Stuckey, newest member of the Arizona Cardinals. And, again, we're going to talk about the upcoming season, and why he signed with the Arizona Cardinals. And let's bring him in now. Let's bring in Arizona Cardinals wide receiver, Chancey Stuckey. Chancey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, doing very well. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, Aaron. I'm looking forward to it.
And Chancey, let's get right down to it. I mean, you signed with the Arizona Cardinals after two seasons in Cleveland. What made that Arizona Cardinals situation appealing to you?
I mean, I think the big thing was, you know, the type of offense they ran, you know, the type of, you know, numbers and the things they've done in the past, you know, going to the Super Bowl with, you know, a pass-first offense and, you know, with them bringing in, you know, a big-time quarterback and, you know, quite honestly, playing alongside Larry Fitzgerald was a big part of it also.
Right. And did you know at the end of last season that your time in Cleveland was going to be done, or did you think you would come back to Cleveland?
I wasn't sure. I was kind of 50-50, you know, because, you know, I saw myself as a guy that, you know, would probably fit into, you know, a West Coast offense, but, you know, they decided to go, you know, elsewhere, and, you know, and I'm extremely happy to be in Arizona. I don't think it could have worked out any better. So, you know, both sides, you know, pretty much got what they want.
And did the Kevin Cobb trade make the Arizona situation a lot more appealing?
Oh, it really did. You know, with Kevin coming in, you know, he's a guy that really wants to prove himself, and you know, he's going to work, you know, ultimately to, you know, to prove everybody wrong and, you know, let everybody know he belongs. So, you know, just playing with a quarterback like that, you know, understands the game, who's played behind some great quarterbacks, you know, it makes a huge difference.
And how has Kevin looked thus far in training camp? Are you surprised at how good he actually was? Or is, I should say?
Well, I was a little familiar with Kevin. You know, we played in the Senior Bowl, you know, a couple years ago, but, you know, obviously a different time. But, you know, he came in and, you know, he has a lot of zip on the ball. You know, he's learning, you know, on the fly, just kind of like, you know, all the other free agents. But, you know, I think he's doing a great job of picking up the offense and, you know, and doing some good things.
And speaking of that learning on the fly, I mean, training camp started 2 weeks ago, but since the CBA was not finalized, you were not able to practice with the team. How tough was that for you?
Oh, it's extremely tough. You know, you can only get so many mental reps until, you know, you go out there and actually have to do it. So it's a huge difference than sitting on the sideline and, you know, actually being in the game, especially, you know, being in the offense for, you know, for 4 years and, you know, that you know, what I've known, and then just totally changing the different terminology, the different, you know, hot reads and, you know, things like that. It's definitely been an adjustment.
And what were you doing at that time where you weren't able to practice? What were guys doing?
Just trying to pay attention, just looking at the plays and, you know, trying to learn the terminology and learn what routes, you know, this guy has, that guy has, and, you know, what the tight end is doing, what the quarterback read is, what his drop is, you know, just trying to get a good feel for, you know, what was going on and, you know, what we were going to have to do once we came back.
We're talking to Chancey Stuckey, one of the newest members of the Arizona Cardinals. And Chancey, coming into Arizona, obviously right now you're competing for the third and fourth wide receiver spot. How has that competition been going for you?
It's been great. You know, competition brings out the best in, you know, each player. So, you know, the guys have been making a lot of plays, and, you know, you definitely have to, you know, step up this being, you know, a receiver full team. So, you know, you just got to go out and, you know, do what you're used to doing and, you know, make plays, and, you know, everything works out.
And right now, Chancey, right now in the NFL, there are no more two-a-days. How different has training camp been without these two-a-days?
It's been very different because, you know, you can't, you know, you don't get that extra time to practice the play. So, you know what I'm saying, you're just going out, you're doing the walkthrough, and usually that'll be a practice that you can get more time, you know, more reps. But, you know, as a walkthrough, you're kind of, you know, losing a little bit. But, you know, I stay with a longer, you know, off season and things like that. You know, next year the non-two-a-days won't be as big of an effect on players.
And Chancey, last week I had a veteran player, who said that one of the ways he made the team was by training camp and the two-a-days. And you're a guy, seventh round draft pick of the New York Jets back in 2007. Do you think these new practice rules, will that affect players' chances of making teams, players such as yourself who was a seventh-round draft pick, players, free agents off the street, will it affect their chances of making the team?
I think yes and no. You know, with guys who come in and, you know, they make plays immediately, I don't think it'll really affect them. But, you know, kind of some guys who are kind of on the bubble and, you know, need a little extra time. And, you know, I think it'll affect those guys a lot, you know, because you have a lot of guys, you know, in camp, you're not getting as many reps and, you know, your chances are few and far between. So I think, you know, with the guys who are kind of on the bubble, just need to really capitalize on, you know, their opportunity.
And one of the things that have been going on during training camp is a lot of injuries. I mean, a lot of Achilles, a lot of people going down with that Achilles injury. Are you surprised by all the injuries going on in training camps throughout the league?
I don't think so, you know, because, you know, probably not, you know, guys within doing different things, and you just kind of knew it was going to happen. You know, you can train all you want, but, you know, football, you know, shape and, you know, the cuts and stuff you're doing is different once you're out there, and it makes a huge difference. Your body, you know, it's not really used to that. So, you know, you just got to take a little extra time to warm up and stretch and, you know, take care of your body a little more than what you would usually do in a normal, you know, training camp.
Talking to Chancey Stuckey, one of the newest members of the Arizona Cardinals. And last week, Chancey, you saw some action in a preseason game against the Oakland Raiders. How good was it for you to get out there and get back on the field and get hit again?
Well, you know, it was surprising because, you know, it's been so long. It felt kind of weird to actually be out there again. You know, not having that much practice time and then just jump, you know, kind of in a week into it, you're in a game and, you know, it's time to go. So it was definitely an adjustment, you know, just being in the first game. But as it went along, you know, things settled down, you know, nerves settled down, and, you know, we're just back to playing football.
And do you feel like you're picking up the offense pretty well?
I think I am. You know, just a little over, you know, the time we've had, I think I'm picking it up really well. You know, the more I pick it up, I feel like the faster I can play. So just trying to, you know, get everything, you know, honed in so I can just, you know, just play free and then make plays.
And you talked about playing with Larry Fitzgerald, arguably the best wide receiver in the game. What have you learned these past 2 weeks by watching Larry Fitzgerald? What makes Larry Fitzgerald Larry Fitzgerald?
I mean, I think the biggest thing that made Larry Larry is the way he works. You know, a lot of people don't, you know how hard he works. You know, he once he's done with practice, he's drenched and sweaty. You know, he stays after practice, does drills, and you know, it's just great. You know, to watching the guy just perfect his craft. You know, as much as he does.
And last year, Chancey, 40 catches with the Cleveland Browns, but you didn't get into the end zone. Going into this 2011 season, what are your goals?
Obviously, you know, surpass the 40-plus catches and, you know, to be a bigger, you know, big play threat, you know, to get into the end zone and, you know, be a difference maker. So that's what my ultimate goal is this year, and, you know, to be a spark for the Arizona Cardinals, just to add to the, you know, the great offense that they already have.
And Chancey, you're one of these guys, man, and I got to give you a lot of credit. You are very active in the community. Talk about your foundation.
Well, you know, just one of those things where I just like to help, you know, other people doing, you know, whatever I can. You know, I'm a firm believer in Christ, and, you know, we're called to, you know, to help others who aren't as fortunate for us. You know, I'm in a great position to bless people, you know, however I can, whether it's, you know, giving them, you know, free stuff or, you know, helping them with schoolwork or buying them, you know, book bags or whatever's, you know, put on my heart. You know, I just like to do, you know, a bunch of different things and, you know, helping out people who, you know, who need it.
And this football, I mean, sports in general, it's a great platform to spread the gospel. Do you look at it that way?
Ultimately, you know, that's what me and my buddies, you know, that's what, you know, we do with Facebook, we do with Twitter, and, you know, it's great. You know, you have all these thousands of followers. You know, you never know. You know, only take, you know, one person to change their life, and, you know, and you've done your job, and, you know, you just continue just to, you know, try to pick people up every day. You never know who needs a word every day, so you just try to be diligent in what you're doing and just try to, you know, show up all the time.
And, again, you continue to do great things in the community. Where can we find information about your foundation and some of the great things you're doing?
Yeah, my Twitter is, you know, at Chancey Stuckey, just together. And, you know, my website is ChanceyStuckey83.com. And, you know, they'll find everything on there and, you know, how to get in touch and, you know, how to, you know, do whatever we have to do.
And we got to switch that website over. We got to get Chancey in that Arizona uniform.
Exactly. You know, it's about that time. So we got to make a couple of plays, and then, you know, everything will fall into place.
And Chancey, on this show, we like to play a game called Who's Better. I'll give you three topics. You tell me who's better. You ready to play?
Let's go.
Better football city, Cleveland or New York?
Wow, that's tough. I would say football city. I would say New York.
New York, okay. Yeah, Cleveland fans are very passionate, very passionate.
Very passionate, but we said city, so I got to take it all the effect of everything. We didn't just say fan.
Better sandwich, the Whopper or the Big Mac?
Wow. Not really a fast food guy, but if I was speaking for my daughter, I would say the Whopper.
And last question, Walmart or Target?
Ooh, Walmart all the way. Target's too expensive.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I'm a big time Walmart fan. And training camp is continuing. And I mean, is it exciting to have football back for you?
I mean, it's great. You know, you could just smell it in the air. You know, everything's a lot better. It just feels great. So, I mean, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm just saying just to have the feeling back and, you know, knowing what you're doing every day, you know your schedule for the next, you know, 7-8 months, you know, it just feels great.
And you guys, with the addition of Kevin Cobb, you guys are expected, and many expect you guys to kind of take that next step and kind of win the division. Do you feel that type of pressure around the complex?
Well, I don't think it's pressure. I just think it's a goal. You know, everyone knows, you know, what we have to do to win the West. And, you know, we're going to say, you know, take the West first, and that's the quickest way to get into the playoffs, and then we're just going to, you know, keep grinding and, you know, ultimately hopefully get to the Super Bowl.
And Chancey, again, where can we find information about your foundation so everybody can go there and support the great things you're doing?
Yes, ChanceyVStuckey.com. And that Twitter is at Chancey Stuckey, C-H-A-N-S-I-S-T-U-C-K-E-Y.
Chancey, it was a pleasure talking to you, man. We wish you nothing but the best of luck in this 2011 season. Stay healthy, be productive, man, and do what you've been doing throughout your career. Appreciate it, sir.
All right, thanks for having me on. You take care.
No problem. Let's do it again.
All right, see you.
Chancey Stuckey, wideout, Arizona Cardinals. And, again, he spent last season in Cleveland. And this is a great opportunity, I think, for him, and a great opportunity to play what many believe possibly is a franchise type of quarterback in Kevin Cobb. Many believe that Kevin Cobb is a franchise type quarterback. I'm not really too sure about that, but he's getting paid like one, and many think he can get it done. Many are picking the Arizona Cardinals to win the NFC West because of Kevin Cobb. And if you look at the NFC West, you say, you know what? Who is the best quarterback in the NFC West? And quarterbacks, they win championships. Quarterbacks up win championships. Who is the best quarterback in the NFC West? You look at Sam Bradford, a rookie, had a very good rookie season, but he's still young. He's still young. You look at Alex Smith. No, he's not the best. You look at Tavares Jackson. Yes, Tavares Jackson has led a team to the playoffs, led the Minnesota Vikings to the playoffs a few years back. But I may have to say that Kevin Cobb is the best quarterback in the NFC West. And obviously I'm saying that on potential and ability alone because you look at it. You look at it. You look at Kevin Cobb, 3-4 as a starter, 3-4 as a starter, and a guy, 11 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. But he has shown a lot of promise, shown a lot of ability, and a guy who is very confident in his abilities, very confident in the things that he can do. He's very confident, and that's a good thing. Confidence, for a lot of people, is sexy. I'm not calling Kevin Cobb sexy, but I'm saying to a lot of people, confidence is sexy. But Kevin Cobb is very confident in his abilities, very confident at what he can do. Will it translate on the field? I mean, he's got a very good wide receiver in Larry Fitzgerald. Very good wide receiver in Larry Fitzgerald. Very good. Very good. Larry Fitzgerald is a very good wideout. No doubt about it. And then, you know, you have an early Doucette who's been very impressive in training camp to some of the onlookers. And then you have a few other guys in the mix right now for that second wide receiver spot. But with Larry Fitzgerald there, he's going to get a lot of attention. That gives an opportunity like a guy, gives opportunities for a guy like a Chancey Stuckey, give opportunities for a guy like an early Doucette to get some plays, to make some plays. And then they bring in a Todd Heap, who's a very good tight end. Todd Heap is a very good tight end, so you bring him in. And I heard people saying that the Arizona Cardinals have finally replaced Jay Novacek. I've heard that talk, that the Arizona Cardinals have finally replaced Jay Novacek. Jay Novacek, the great tight end, played many years in Dallas. But before he went to Dallas and before he was the man in Dallas, he was in Arizona with the Arizona Cardinals. He was in Arizona with the Arizona Cardinals. But I look at that situation, man, and I think you have to say best quarterback in the division probably is Kevin Cobb. I think Kevin Cobb probably is the best quarterback in that division. But do not sleep on Tavares Jackson. Do not sleep on Tavares Jackson. And a lot of people may be laughing right now hysterically, but don't sleep on Tavares Jackson. But I think Kevin Cobb probably is the best quarterback in the NFC West. I believe it. I do believe it. I want to go now to, there was a rule change this season. The NFL moved before kickers were kicking off from the 30-yard line. Now the NFL moved it up to the 35-yard line, and that was pretty much essentially, they said, for safety reasons. And guys, you know, you have some guys getting hurt on kickoffs wedge blocking, things of that nature, guys getting hurt running into the wedge. And, you know, a lot of things happen on that kickoff. I mean, you're just throwing your body around. And, you know, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. You know, and Josh Cribbs, he had some interesting quotes on Twitter. And Josh Cribbs is he's one of the best. He's one of the best kick returners in the league. And he wrote on Twitter, "You're not making the game safer. You're messing up a great sport. Trying to hide behind safety just to add two games. Shaking my head," which is SMH. And a lot of people may not be familiar with some of the lingo, OMG and SMH and so on and so forth, for a whole bunch out there. And I'm just getting hip to those things myself. But anyway, you know what? I think they need to change this rule. I really do. And Cribbs went on to say, also on Twitter, "I see an immediate amendment on the kickoff rules, either before the end of the season or beginning of next year, because without that part of the return game, it might as well be a scrimmage." And you're seeing a lot of touchbacks. You're seeing a lot of touchbacks. And one of the more exciting plays in the NFL is a kickoff return. That is one of the more exciting plays in the NFL, kickoff, punt return. Those are exciting plays. Very exciting plays. Very exciting plays. And they're taking it out of the game by moving up, by moving it up 5 yards to the 35-yard line. One of the reasons they moved it back to the 30 was because they could have more kickoffs, returns, more returns. Is there a more exciting part of football than a return? I mean, it's an exciting play. You're going essentially coast to coast. Coast to coast. It's an exciting play. And you're seeing a lot of people dropping knees, dropping to a knee and taking that ball on the 20-yard line. And, you know, I would like to see this rule changed. Going back to the old way. I really would. You're taking out some of the excitement of the game. The NFL is a great product. A great product. It doesn't get any better than the NFL, especially in America. Americans love the National Football League. Americans love fantasy football. Americans love suicide pools. Americans love all the stuff that is associated with the National Football League. Americans love it. And one of the things that Americans love is the kickoff return, is the punt return. It's exciting. No one is excited to see a kicker kick the ball and have a player take a knee in the end zone. That is not exciting. If you're going to do that, you might as well put the ball on the 20-yard line and just say, have at it. Give the team an option. Do you want to kick off return or do you want to put the ball at the 20-yard line? You save some more time in the game. Because it's just, I was watching it this week and watching the football, and I'm excited to have football back. Preseason football can be very boring at times, but I'm excited to have football back. But when I see the kicks, I see guys kicking off, and I'm saying, man, guys are just taking a knee. Guys are just taking a knee. Taking a knee. That's not exciting, man. Exciting is seeing Devin Hester, seeing a Josh Cribbs take that ball and do some great things, do some exciting things. That's exciting. That is what makes the NFL the NFL. That is great, man. That's great. That's great. It doesn't get any better than that. And to have them take that aspect out of the game, to have them take that aspect out of the game is tough. It's frustrating on my part. It's boring. And it's not exciting. And I don't watch football to be frustrated. I don't watch football to be bored. I don't watch football to be bored, and I don't watch football not to be excited. And by taking out the kickoff return, by moving it up and moving it up to the 35-yard line instead of the 30, that is not exciting. That's boring. Change it back. Change it back. Goodell, Roger Goodell, change it. You have the power, man. You and, of course, the owners, you guys have to come together and make the decision, but change it back. Come on. That's not good for the game. What's good for the game is seeing Devin Hester, is seeing Josh Cripps, is seeing those guys do exciting things and big-time things in the return game. That's exciting. That's exciting to me. And I hope, man, I don't know if I doubt if this happens, but I hope that they can resolve this situation and turn it back the old way. Probably, like Josh Cripps said, I don't think it'll happen this year. Probably it will happen next year. I mean, who knows? I mean, it'd be beautiful what happened if it happens this year. It would be very, very beautiful. It would be. It would be. But we shall see if it does get changed around. And again, I don't think it will. I don't think it will. I don't think it will. But please, guys, if you're listening, Goodell, if you're listening, somebody ownership, if you're listening, listen to what I'm saying. I speak for the fans. I am a fan. Change this thing around. Change this thing around. Change it around. Change it around. Because it's not exciting. And it's taking an exciting part of the game. It's an exciting part of the game. And it's taking it away. Not good. Not good. Not a good thing. It's an absolute bad thing. A bad, 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 bad thing. Change it! I'm done on that subject. I won't say no more. But please, one more time, I have to say it. I'm compelled to say it. Change it. Real quickly now, Delonte West, guard for the Boston Celtics, he actually filled out an application, and he tweeted this. He tweeted that he is broke, and he has applied for a job at the Home Depot. Delonte West, he says he's broke. And so he can't, he says, guess what, West, right now he is on probation. He has some issues with weapons and guns and things of that nature. So guess what, he's not allowed to go overseas. So he can't leave the country. He cannot leave the country. And he also tweeted, broke down in the ATM line. 25 cars behind me, and I've already reached my daily limit. I am broke, and my car's broke. Where's my therapist? And I'm laughing, but Delonte West does suffer from bipolar. He is bipolar, so he suffers from bipolar disorder. So, I mean, when he says, where's his therapist? That may be real. That may be some real stuff there. But again, he has applied. And this is a guy who's made over $14 million in the NBA. Over $14 million. But he's broke, he said. And so he's applied to the Home Depot. And hopefully he can do some nice things in the Home Depot. And if I go to the Boston area, maybe I'll see Delonte West in the Home Depot. And he may lead me to the right direction in terms of getting paint, wood, so on and so forth. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do to eat. And again, we talked about this. People do some strange things and do whatever they got to do when it comes to feeding their family. And there's nothing wrong with that unless it's illegal. That's when it becomes wrong. We want to thank Iman Shumpert, the newest member of the New York Knicks. And make sure you follow him on Twitter at @I_M_Iman. And make sure you follow him on Twitter right there. At that handle, I_AM_IMAN. And also want to thank Chancey Stuckey. wide out for the Arizona Cardinals, make sure you go check out his website, ChanceyVStuckey.com. There you can find out about his foundation and some of the great things he's doing in the community. And you can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And make sure you follow me on Twitter at GoForAgain. Follow me on Twitter at GoForAgain and listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. For everybody here at GoFor, have a great night. See you later.